What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select, Backstage Report Podcast. Man, lots of news to get into. I'm not using my usual setup here. I am on the road right now. But let's go ahead and talk about all the news from the last week, including a story that we just broke about Drew McIntyre's WWE contract negotiations. Now, there's been a lot made about Drew McIntyre's deal. He has not re-signed. Not only that, his deal is up before June. This is interesting for a number of reasons. We're told that the VP of talent, Dan Ventrell, had only reached out to Drew McIntyre in March. That's when McIntyre had already been booked for a major WrestleMania match. He had been booked for a CM Punk feud. And Scotland had been booked for Clash at the Castle, with Drew McIntyre not under contract. That being said, we're told that Drew McIntyre has been a pro throughout this process. And, you know, even though he hasn't signed, and I don't know if a deal has officially been offered or anything like that, that he's at least been easy to deal with throughout this process, a professional in that sense. So the VP of talent, Dan Ventrell, is out. And it certainly seems from a talent perspective, at least the ones that I spoke to, that he was not a good fit for the role. Now, I've heard from people in the company that say he was a good guy, just not a good fit. But Nick Khan did post a memo saying that the role will be filled by Chris LaGentle, who has a role in comms, Matt Altman, who has a role in marketing. He actually used to be in the communications department. Talent development and recruiting are now reporting to Shawn Michaels. All of talent will ultimately report to Paul Levesque, which is pretty well been the case for quite a while. They thanked Dan for his contributions and all that stuff. But, I mean, I can tell you talent, some of them were like, man, what's going on here? Now, I understand also that many of the talent were used to having their deals negotiated well ahead of time and that things were going to be different. I mean, we had even reported that things were going to be different. But I think as close as some of these deals have gotten, some of these talent are... I don't know if they feel disrespected or what the thing is, but they haven't enjoyed it. That much I tell you. And there are at least some that were like, yeah, well, now we'll see what happens. In recent months, it's been reported that Drew McIntyre, Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, others have their deals coming up much sooner than would typically be the case before negotiating. In addition, we're told that Natalya's deal is up before, I think, June as well. So probably within the next 3 or 4 weeks, as best I know, Natalya's deal will be up. We spoke to her for an interview. She said that she would be interested in doing Bloodsport. She'd be interested in bringing a whole lot more people to train in the dungeon. We talked about a whole lot of things there, but she's got a deal coming up soon. It's one to keep an eye on. Cody Rhodes, he did a ton of merch sales at WrestleMania. My God. $1 million across shop and world. Insane. Speaking of Cody and WrestleMania weekend, a lot of people asking about that documentary. I was told they had footage that they needed to edit, and it would be out in due time. I don't know what in due time even means at this point, but yeah, it didn't release when they said it was going to release. WWE Draft, they're capitalizing off of draft fever, I'm told. That's why they're doing it the week of the NFL draft. I might try to go to that show. I think I'm going to be in town for an NFL draft party in Cincinnati on Thursday. And then, of course, they'll be in Cincinnati Friday. So maybe I'll make that work and hopefully get some content and all that. I asked if there'd be hard and fast rules with the brand split and all that. But they had told me that, they being WWE, that there's an awful lot of question marks, especially regarding distribution in the fall. So that a lot of that is a TBD. And I also asked if Netflix and CW would have anything to do with it. And they said that CW probably would, but that next year's draft is closer to the Netflix deal than this year's is. So they would worry about that whenever the time came. I think that's a pretty smart way to approach it. There have been question marks around NXT's involvement in the draft, and Corey Brennan had some reporting on that. He learned that sources close to NXT said that a lot of the appearances of main roster talent is not a tease. It's setting the stage with the Final Testament and Ivar for other stars to make the jump during the draft as a renewed focus of making NXT the third brand of WWE once again. Brendan has also been told that the next 2 weeks of NXT programming will focus on the draft and the lead up to spring breakin'. And also, Carmelo Hayes, Ilya Dragunov, likely to go up. Roxanne Perez status for the draft remains up in the air despite on-screen television teases. Tony D'Angelo's family, Baron Corbin, have also been discussed as possible additions for Raw and SmackDown. Corey Brendan killing it with the NXT news, just doing an incredible job there. Tama Tonga, oh boy. So he's been eyed for the Bloodline and WWE for quite some time and finally made his debut. And people I talked to in WWE were very happy about it. This is one that's been expected for months. Now, I don't have any info on Hikuleo yet outside of the fact that his deal was supposed to be up in June as of earlier this year. However, Tama Tonga's was up in January or so. They had reached out to Tama Tonga way back in 2016 when they brought in Nakamura, AJ Styles, Gallows, Anderson, all them. He wanted to stay around and work with his brothers. I'm sure he had a great time doing that. They did a lot of great things together. But WWE also had conversations with both he and Hikuleo last year. However, Vince McMahon forcing his way back into the company led to a freeze as well as the change in regime as well. But we are well past that now. And now we're seeing talent signed from AEW like Jade Cargill. We are seeing young free agents signed. We are seeing older free agents signed like Tama Tonga. And man, I think it worked out pretty well. I think it worked out exceptionally well. Now, one of the ideas that we had heard mentioned was that of Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga teaming. I can tell you that there were some people around Philadelphia the week of WrestleMania that were discussing that, and there were a whole lot of people saying, oh, well, how do they draw the connection between Tama Tonga and the Bloodline? Well, you can find footage of The Rock on Jimmy Kimmel 10 years ago calling Haku his uncle. And Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu, their fathers, teamed together for years in the 80s. The Tonga Kid and Haku. So I think that's something that could eventually happen. And Jacob Fatu seemed to make a good impression backstage in Philadelphia as well. Which if you meet him, you'll see why he makes a good impression. He's a very positive guy. Very, very nice to be around. But Tama Tonga had plenty of friends there. It wasn't like he was walking into the company not knowing anybody or anything like that. So, man, an awful lot going on there with the Bloodline. I think that they reinvigorated that storyline. Mustafa Ali spoke to In the Weeds. This was an in-character interview, but it was actually kind of fun. He's one of those guys that I don't really mind doing in-character stuff with. So that was pretty neat. There was fear of Julia Hart being injured this past week on Dynamite, but we're told that she is cleared and is expected at this week's Dynamite. Matt Hardy had not been backstage at recent AEW shows ahead of his contract expiration. Michael Hayes is expected to resume Bloodline-related segment production based on those we spoke to. This past week, it was Jason Jordan doing that. WWE seemed happy with the Carmelo Hayes, Bobby Roode, and Gallus help in preparing The Rock for his in-ring return. In case there was any doubt, yes, those Bo Dallas, Uncle Howdy teases are Bo Dallas or Uncle Howdy or whatever character teases he's doing. I do want to make this clear. None of the YouTube or Twitter accounts that pretend to be associated with them are. Stephanie McMahon not back in WWE in any role, as best we know as of yet. WWE were very happy with the I Show Speed spot on WrestleMania. For those of you going, who? That was the spot where Randy Orton RKO'd that gentleman in a prime suit, and he threw some F-bombs, and they said that, well, you know what? The attention that we got from it alleviated the heat of any F-bombs. Fightful Select had reported last week that Seth Rollins was not on the Raw rundowns as he is taking time off. He's expected to be factored into the draft at some point in some capacity as well. Drew Gulak, we had some news on that from Corey Brennan. He was not on this past week's NXT, is not factored into creative plans, as best I'm told. And Corey Brennan was told that he was seated somewhere at the Hall of Fame that was close to someone who is close to Ronda Rousey personally, and they removed him. Now, I'm not talking like forcibly removed or anything like that, but Haven't heard any update on his future or anything like that, but he isn't factored immediately into creative plans. That could obviously change at any time, but that is in relation to the story about Ronda Rousey being uncomfortable around him because he pulled on a hoodie string or a sweatpants string, it was. And he said that it was an accident. So that is still ongoing right now. Hopefully no longer ongoing. CM Punk Jack Perry footage that aired on Dynamite. It was the actual footage, not a bait and switch, as we had reported. Regardless how you feel about the footage, we've collected those reactions from people in the wrestling world. Most of them were very tepid. Many said that it was what they expected. One night ratings ploy. There was talk of the mood decreasing backstage at Dynamite after the footage aired, and more of the dread of social media bullshit than anything else that we heard. We did hear that Tony Khan had the idea last week, or the week prior, following Punk's interview with Helwani, but the numerous shots last week in the media, or Mania week in the media, accelerated that decision. By last week, creative was set for the video, the decision to promote it right after Mania was planned as well. Regarding rumors that the Bucks were not in favor of the segment, that was not true at all. They were fine doing the angle. FTR were given a heads up about the decision to promote it, signed off on it, were in the line of thinking that if it adds to the storyline or the buzz around it, then that's fine. We've heard of no issues between Punk and FTR as a result. The general response we've heard from AEW talent was that they felt that this added to the importance of having a huge show for Dynasty and didn't think that the full pay-per-view schedule announcement the following day was an accident. Within WWE, there were plenty of people talking about the situation, but most we spoke to were exhausted after an insane WrestleMania week. We didn't hear any really surprised reactions of anything that happened in the video or anything that anybody didn't expect. Punk isn't getting punished, scolded, anything of the like within WWE. There were wrestlers that considered the video a self-own, then others that said they didn't care and they were just watching out of curiosity. One long-time name that had been in WWE and AEW said this is no worse than anything that happened during the Monday Night War era, and there are examples across the board of this happening back then. The prevailing hope was that this hopefully benefits Jack Perry, who got a good reaction from the Chicago crowd on Friday at Windy City Riot, and hopefully bring him back to AEW to capitalize on the situation. Elsewhere in the AEW locker room, there were some natural people that were like, wish somebody else would have gotten this TV time. I'll tell you one thing that was unanimous. There ain't anybody here, anybody that I talk to, that thinks this is a company killer. And I think that after 1 week, pretty much people understand that's true. Now, I also want to address a tweet that I posted, and then I went and took a little napski. I saw Tony Khan's quote where he said, "The most real thing in wrestling is the competition between companies. The companies hate each other." And I posted a facepalm emoji. And I posted that because I just knew that people were going to be fucking weird about it. And he's right. The companies do not like each other. That doesn't mean the talent. That doesn't mean that there aren't people that don't get along. I have just seen so much goofy little shit. The goofy little shit that you see on screen pales in comparison to the goofy little shit that you've seen off screen. Especially the past regime under Vince of WWE did some really silly bullshit. So, I mean, I don't find that statement inaccurate. And, I mean, if he represents the company, if he's saying that, I think he's probably got a pretty good idea of that. But perhaps I should have added more context to that. But, I was like, man, I was like, after last week, I don't want to deal with the discourse. And then, of course, there was the discourse, and it was sufficiently fucking weird. Exceedingly fucking weird. It's wrestling, guys. To me, I look at it and I'm like, well, it's truthful. You can say that he shouldn't have said it, whatever, blah, 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 but I'm just like, man, it's accurate. Companies do not like one another. Now, the next story I'm going to share my opinion on this story because I saw a lot of people being just willfully obtuse and flat out ignorant about it. There was a comment from Triple H on Pat McAfee's show on ESPN, nationally televised show. And he says, when I see people trying to make it and they pick the job where they go, well, I'll work less and the schedule's lighter. Okay, I'm glad I didn't get you. Because if you're not in it for the grind in that point of your career, you have no business being there. End quote. Now, Triple H didn't reference Will Ospreay by name. Will Ospreay responded on Dynamite saying, quote, normally I wouldn't rise to this type of bait, but seeing how the guy who said it is only in the position because he was grinding the boss's daughter, you have no business telling me what my grind was all about, my friend, because you have no idea what I fight for, end quote. So, there are times I just hate being in the position I'm in, because if you defend literally anybody, people act so fucking weird about it. However, I covered this situation, those negotiations, and the negotiations of numerous talent extensively. WWE claims Okada did not have talks with WWE. That's their claim. They outright told me Mercedes was about money. So who else are they talking about? We got people online that have the balls to sit there and say, well, who's to say Triple H was talking about him? Okay, well, in that case, who's to say that Will Ospreay was talking about Triple H? You see what I mean here? Like, this ain't a fucking cold case. This is not a situation where you got to go through and interview a bunch of people, put the evidence together. There is common sense that can be employed in these situations. And I can tell you that Triple H's comment did not exactly ring well with talent in WWE or AEW that I talked to, because there are several people in WWE that knew of Will Ospreay's position, knew of the situation, knew that he did not want to uproot his family, as he said. He spoke about why it was important to not uproot that family on an extremely personal level, and that's what motivated the shot back. Now, again, Will Ospreay was fine cutting that promo. He was excited to do it. He, you know, felt like doing that, but I thought a more disheartening thing than any of that, which I didn't particularly like the comment. I didn't like Triple H's comment either. It wasn't anything that made me go, oh, wow, great stuff, man. Nothing like that. I was just really disheartened and disappointed by the willful ignorance and people just sitting there pretending. Like pretending. Like, oh, well, he didn't say his name, so come on. What are we doing here? We being for real? Are you going to sit there and pretend like, oh, it could have been about anybody else? Well, no, it wasn't. It absolutely wasn't. Just asinine. Asinine. And I don't mind friendly shots or anything like that, even if they're not friendly shots, you know. When it gets personal, I'm like, okay. That one was, you know, not the worst I've heard, but could have done without all of it. It was disheartening because I know that Will Ospreay negotiated with WWE in good faith. AEW offered him a better schedule and more money, and he's able to retain his residence in the UK. And he's a guy that's had over 1,000 matches, and WWE has hired numerous people that don't work, quote unquote, the grind. It just seemed like it was a very unusual approach to take, I thought, because I didn't find it productive either way. Well, here's hoping this dumbass discourse ends. Till next time, guys, we're out.